Well, welcome everyone. Thank you so much for joining. My name is Daphne Fowler. I'm the grants director at One Day's Wages. And we have current One Day's Wages partners. We also have prospective applicants joining this call from all over the world. We're so glad that you were able to join. Like I mentioned earlier, there will be a recording of the call available afterwards that I'll email you and also post on our website. So feel free to just listen in. You can take notes if you want to or not, but the recording will be available afterwards. So a few ground rules before we start. I would ask that you please stay on mute so that everyone is able to listen well. If you have questions that come up, we'll leave time for questions at the end of the webinar, and you are welcome to add your questions to the chat box if something pops up during the webinar. Please feel free to use that feature. I'll start just by introducing myself. As I mentioned, I'm the grants director with One Day's Wages, and I came to One Day's Wages after working in international development for about 17 years. So I have usually, for most of my career, been the one in the seat of writing the grant requests, looking for funders. I've worked very closely with smaller grassroots organizations throughout the world, and have spent about 7 years internationally myself, in Burkina Faso, Cambodia, and most recently in Nepal. So I have a small glimpse into the world of locally led efforts to alleviate poverty around the world, the work that so many of you are doing. At One Day's Wages, my role is to lead our grant vetting work. So as we receive grant applications, I lead our team of grant analysts that reviews and revets applications. And then I also work with our current partners who are implementing projects and reporting back on the impact of their work. So, for those of you who are not familiar with One Day's Wages, I'll start by giving a bit of an introduction into us as an organization. And then I'll also review our approach to grant making, our guidelines and criteria. And then we'll jump into some best practices for grant writing, whether you're submitting a request to One Day's Wages or to any other funder that you're submitting a request to. Hopefully, these best practices will be applicable across the board. One Day's Wages is a nonprofit organization in the United States. Our headquarters is in Seattle. I'm actually based in Atlanta, Georgia. Our team is largely works remotely, although we do have some folks who are based in Seattle. We call ourselves a grassroots movement of people, stories, and actions to alleviate global poverty. And we believe that positive change happens when we invest in and come alongside grassroots organizations. It's important to us that we're not reinventing the wheel and coming up with our own projects because we really believe in the work that all of you are doing. Those who really know the context and the needs and the hopes and dreams of local communities the best. We acknowledge that our contributions to the task of poverty alleviation are small, but we truly believe that each of us has an important role to play in working to alleviate extreme poverty. So, like I mentioned, One Day's Wages, we ourselves are a nonprofit organization that is actively fundraising for the funds that we disperse to our partners. So, you may be curious about where this money comes from. It comes from everyday people who are encouraged to give their one day's wage. That's where our name comes from. So we encourage people to give the equivalent of one day of their annual salary to One Day's Wages. And then we play the role of selecting partners working alongside people who are typically living under the international poverty line. So for some of our donors, they might give $5. For some of our donors, that might mean they can give $5,000. Every person's situation is different. But like I said, we believe that everyone's contribution matters and makes a difference. Some of our donors might also host a fundraiser, like on their birthday. They might choose to host a fundraising campaign for one day's wages to raise money for our partnerships. We've had kids, even as young as 4 years old, decide instead of asking for birthday gifts this year, I'm going to ask my friends to make a donation to one day's wages. And then 100% of those donations go to the projects that we support with our grassroots partners. And we actually fundraise separately for our own operating costs primarily through an annual fundraising event. One of the things that is unique to One Day's Wages approach to grant making is that all of our grants are matching grants. I'm going to spend a little bit of time here because this is something that applicants often have a lot of questions about. What are matching grants and how do they work for One Day's Wages? Well, first of all, I'll share a little bit about why we award grants as matching grants. And this really goes back to our belief that everyone has a part to play in alleviating poverty, no matter how big or how small the contribution. So we want to make sure that our partners have skin in the game, that they are actively reaching out to their own networks of supporters and board members and community members who may be willing to give contributions to the project. And then we match the amount that our partners raise. We also see matching grants as an opportunity for our partners, a lot of whom are smaller organizations, to grow in their fundraising capacity and gain some experience raising funds from individual donors. So it's essentially gaining some experience crowdsourcing, getting the word out about your work, encouraging people to give. The matching grant campaigns are a really great opportunity to gain some experience doing that, that hopefully will serve our partners well in the long term. And finally, through matching grants, we have an opportunity to uplift the work that our partners are doing. So we highlight the campaigns on our website and on our social media accounts so that more people have the opportunity to learn about our partners and support their work. That is the why. So a little bit now into the how of how our matching grants work. I'm going to spend again some time here so that if you are an organization interested in applying for a grant, hopefully you come away really understanding how this works before choosing to submit an application. So, of the total grant amount requested by an organization when they apply for a grant, the organization will be responsible for raising a portion of those total grant funds from their own donors. Usually, One Day's Wages awards one-to-one matching grants, which means that the partner is responsible for raising half of the grant funds, and then One Day's Wages matches the amount raised dollar for dollar. For example, if you requested and were awarded a $30,000 grant, then you would be responsible for raising $15,000, and One Day's Wages would match that with another $15,000. For smaller organizations that do not have a Western board or donor base, so more like community-based organizations, we do invite some of those applicants to apply for a 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 matching grant. This basically means that the partner would be responsible for raising a third or a quarter of the total grant funds. And then we would match double or triple the amount that the partner raises. Once a grant is awarded by One Day's Wages, we set up a fundraising webpage. I'll show you an example in just a minute. So our partners then share the link to this webpage with their donors and actively promote the campaign on their social media accounts or in emails to donors and phone calls to donors. And then we also promote the campaign on our social media accounts. So I'm going to show you an example here of one of our current partners that is in the midst of their matching grant campaign. So you can see here, this is one of our new partners, Partners in Reproductive Health and Education. This is their fundraising page. There's a bar at the top of the page where you can see the amount that they've raised to date. There's a summary of why they're raising the funds, what the project impact will be like, and then there are multiple opportunities to give along the page. There's a donate button, and it is an opportunity for donors to make a contribution in an amount of their choosing. The contribution can be made by credit card or by bank transfer. And we also have opportunities for partners to make a contribution by check as well. So once a grant is awarded, we go through all of these details with our awardees, but essentially we set up and really support you through that fundraising campaign process. So again, for those of you interested in making a grant request, the amount that you request in your LOI would include both the amount that your organization would be responsible for raising, as well as the amount that One Day's Wages would contribute. I'm sure there will be some additional questions about that at the end. Feel free to drop those questions into the chat box, and then I'll come back to them again at the end of the webinar. All right, so I'm going to jump now into our criteria and our priorities as an organization. And again, the reason I'm spending some time here is because a really, really critical piece of grant writing is understanding a funder's priorities and criteria. And I can't emphasize this enough, whether you're applying for a grant from One Day's Wages or any other type of funder, funders are looking for organizations that match their priorities. And of course, you as organizations looking for funders are looking for funders that match your priorities. So we're looking for a match here. And this is why whenever you're looking at a funder's priorities, values, criteria, guidelines, you want to spend a lot of time. You might print it out and use a highlighter or whatever method you use to make sure you really understand the priorities and that the grant, that the project you're requesting funding for meets those guidelines and priorities. So for One Day's Wages, we are really looking for partner organizations that align with our values. We have five organizational values that are deeply important to how and why we do our work as One Day's Wages. So we're looking for partners who share similar values. The first one of these is dignity. We believe that every single human matters and how we tell their stories matter. And so we're looking for partners that treat their project participants as people with skills and abilities and hopes. It's a red flag for us if we get a request that describes project participants as kind of pitiful or backwards or unable of contributing. We really believe that human dignity matters. Our second value is localization. We believe that local leaders are the ones best equipped to identify needs and implement solutions in their communities. And so that means we're looking for partners that are led by local leaders and or that are actively building the capacity of local leaders in a community. Our third value is impact. We believe that resources should be invested wisely. We don't give big grants. We give relatively small grants. And so we're looking for partners who strategically use small grants for deep impact and who are able to demonstrate that impact. And we'll come back to this topic of impact and monitoring and evaluation again in just a little bit in the webinar. Fourth, we value mutuality. We believe that our work is meant to be relational. And so we're looking for partners who can learn alongside us and who we can learn from. And finally, we value transparency. We believe that we have nothing to hide as an organization, and we're looking for partners who manage their finances transparently and who are willing to report back to us honestly on what worked and what didn't work as they implemented their project. Because I think all of us know lots of things don't work. And so we can agree to be honest about those things and learn from those things. Beyond our values, we have several criteria. These are all on our website, and I'll share that page on our website with you in just a minute. But I think it's helpful to go through it verbally as well. Anyone interested in applying for an LOI must be a legally registered nonprofit organization. It does not matter what country you're registered in. And most countries require that a nonprofit be governed by a voluntary board of directors. So we want to make sure that the organization has appropriate governance and financial management structures in place. We do also require that applicants have an active website. And this is because, sadly, we can't go visit all of our applicants and partners in person. So we rely pretty heavily on your website to learn more about your organization, your team, your projects. And that's why we require there to be an active website as part of our grant review and vetting process. We also prioritize partnering with smaller organizations. This usually means organizations operating on under $1 million a year. We do sometimes make exceptions for partners responding to urgent or emergency needs that require larger capacity in order to respond in that context. On the other hand, we do not fund startup organizations. So most of our partners have been registered as nonprofit organizations for at least 3 years and have an annual budget of at least $100,000 US in US dollars. And the reason for this is that we want to make sure that our partners have the capacity to raise matching funds. And that means having some kind of diversified funding base that might include some individual donors, some grant funding, some community contributions. So if you're interested in submitting an LOI, check your sources of revenue to see if maybe at least 10% of your funding is coming from individual donors who would be willing to contribute to a matching grant campaign. So that means not being entirely dependent just on grant funding. We support projects and partners in a pretty wide range of contexts, but because we want to have the deepest impact possible in alleviating global poverty. We support projects being implemented in countries that are ranked either low or medium on the United Nations Human Development Index. If you're not sure what Human Development Index ranking your country has, you can find the link to the index on our website, and you can check the rankings there. And again, we're really prioritizing projects being implemented in communities experiencing extreme poverty, where people are typically living under the national or international poverty line, which right now is $2.15 in US dollars per day. In terms of the types of projects that we support, the project must align with one or more of our 12 issue funds, which are children's education, climate impact, gender-based violence, girls' empowerment, global hunger, human trafficking, jobs and skills, maternal and child health, preventable diseases, refugee relief, and water sanitation. And the request can be either for a one-time expense, like equipment or construction, or for ongoing costs to implement a project. But in either case, regardless of the type of request, we do look really closely at the long-term sustainability of the activities. And again, we'll come back to this a little bit later in the webinar. There are a few types of projects that we do not fund. We do not fund explicitly religious activities. We do not fund social enterprise or startup activities. And we do not fund projects that are benefiting only a very small group of people. And then finally, in terms of the grant request, the amount of grant requested, the requested amount cannot be more than 30% of your organization's annual budget for that year. And the reason for this is because it's really easy for small organizations to become reliant on just one or two funders. And then when the grant funding ends, that leaves organizations in a really difficult position of not knowing how to retain their staff or continue their activities. So the reason for that 30% threshold is we want to make sure that our partners have several different sources of funding coming in and aren't just reliant on the one day's wages grant funds. When you're deciding how much to request, you want to keep in mind that half or maybe a third of the grant funds would need to be raised by your organization through a matching grant campaign. So that's something important to keep in mind. Most of the first-time grants awarded are in the $10,000 to $30,000 range. Although for smaller organizations, like if your annual budget is maybe $50,000 a year, we also offer micro grants that are less than $10,000. That's something that you can just specify in your letter of inquiry when we ask for your project budget and the amount of grant funds that you're requesting from us. All right. So I mentioned that all of these criteria are on our website. I'm going to show you that webpage really quickly here, just so that you can see what it looks like. The website is onedayswages.org/grants. You can find a full list of all the criteria that I just mentioned on our website. And then there's a button that says Get Started. This will take you to the letter of inquiry form. It is a web-based embedded form on our website. But before you start filling that out, please, again, read through all of our criteria. And I strongly suggest you can see right here on the website, there's a place to download the LOI questions in advance. So my recommendation is that you download the questions and you work really closely with your program team, with your finance team, with the community that you're working in to think through the project and how you'll respond to each of these questions, and then come back and you can copy and paste your responses into the online form. We do get a lot of requests that, you know, appear that someone is just filling out a form really quickly without really putting thought into how and why a project will be implemented. And it's pretty evident when our team of grant analysts is reviewing requests like that, and those requests end up being denied. So again, I strongly encourage that you download the questions in advance, review them carefully, make sure that the project and your organization are in line with our values and criteria before actually filling out that online form and submitting your responses. When you fill out that online form, we will also ask for a copy of your organization's budget for the current fiscal year, as well as a copy of the project budget. So I'm going to share an example here of the organizational budget as well as a sample project budget. When you submit your organization's annual budget, this can be a high-level overview of your expected revenue and your expected expenses for your current fiscal year. Here is an example of an organization's expected revenue. So you might be expecting a couple of grant funds from your various partner organizations. You might be expecting a certain amount of donations to come in from individual donors. You might have a bit of earned revenue from selling products or leading workshops. Every organization's annual budget, of course, is going to look different and unique, but it should include a brief overview of your expected sources of revenue for the year. Your annual budget should also include your expected expenses for the year. Again, we don't have a required format. You're welcome to submit your annual budget in your organization's own format so that you're not having to rewrite something just for us. But again, this should be an overview of your expected expenses for the year, of your budget for the year. So you can see in this sample that there's a breakdown of administrative expenses, things like office rent, fundraising costs, computers, and then program expenses. So again, this doesn't need to be an itemized list of all the expenses for each of your programs, but it would be helpful to see for your organization's programs about what the expenses are, the expected expenses for each of the programs or projects that your organization is implementing that year. It's totally fine for your budget to be in whatever local currency you use, but it's helpful to add a column showing the US dollar equivalent. And there are just online currency converters that you can use in order to check the current exchange rates. And then we ask for you to upload a project budget. So again, here is a sample project budget. There is not a required format, but it's really helpful to have a list of each of the expenses, whether it's staff costs, supply costs, fuel, whatever it is needed to implement the project that you're proposing. It's really helpful to have a breakdown of each of those line items. It's really helpful if it shows the number and the cost per unit so that as our team is reviewing the grant request, we have a really clear sense of exactly what you're requesting funding for. All right. So again, when you are submitting your LOI on our online portal, there will be an opportunity to upload both your annual organization's annual budget, as well as the specific project budget. Once you upload all your information and click submit, you'll receive a copy of your application by email, and then our grants team will review your LOI within 3 weeks and either deny the application or give an invitation for you to submit a full grant application. And our grant application essentially asks for more details about your project activities, how you'll monitor and evaluate your activities, and then how you will sustain the impact of the project. During the grant application process, we also ask new applicants to submit 2 references from 2 of your current or recent funding partners. All right, that is a brief summary of our criteria and our LOI process. So I'm going to shift now to some best practices for grant writing. What makes an LOI or a grant request great? As I mentioned before, as an organization requesting funds, you're looking for funders whose priorities match your organization's priorities. And this, again, is why I spent the first part of the webinar going through One Day's Wages values and criteria in detail. If it's clear that an applicant has not carefully reviewed and considered a funder's priorities and guidelines, it's very unlikely that a grant request will be funded. One of the things that a really great grant request has is an explanation of the context that you're working in. Basically, this is the reason for why your project exists. In the grant application, you can do this even in 2 or 3 sentences that are summarized really well and that give evidence to back up the need in the community that you're working in. So, for example, you might include statistics from reputable organizations. You might include the results of a survey that your organization conducted. You might include stories from community members. But we want to see some, most funders want to see some specific evidence for why a project is needed. So for example, if you're implementing an education project, your description might say something like, in the Morang District of Nepal, only 62% of primary school students transition from primary school to secondary school. Girls are even less likely to attend secondary school. In 2022, according to district education office data, only 40% of secondary school students were girls. By the way, I'm just making this all up as an example. So please, these are not real statistics. But as someone reading a grant request, I'll read that and know right away, oh, okay, this grant request has to do with supporting girls, more girls to be able to attend secondary school. And now I know why this project is needed in this particular community. It's not just based on an assumption or someone saying more girls need to attend secondary school, because as the funder, we really want to understand the why the project is needed. Really great grant requests and projects in general are also able to demonstrate active community engagement and identifying the needs in the community and designing a program in response to those needs. So sometimes I might see a grant request that kind of looks like one person says, I think this is what this community needs. And that again is a red flag if it's just one person coming up with the plan. So we really want to see, and most funders really want to see, how a community, how the people who will be participating in the project have been part of the process of saying, this is why we need the project, this is the goal for our community, and this is how, as a community, we'll work together toward that goal. So again, as an example, building on our previous example of an education project in Nepal, you might say, in 2022, we conducted interviews with 20 school officials in Morong District. Officials were concerned about the number of girls who do not attend secondary school and requested support from our organization to raise awareness about girls' education in rural school districts. So now we know, okay, even the school officials are expressing concern about the percentage of girls in secondary school, and they're requesting our support. A great grant request also clearly describes the project goal and activities. We ask for this in the LOI, so this is your chance to briefly but clearly explain the goal of the project. So what, at the end of the year, do you hope the impact will be? And then the specific activities that you will implement in order to achieve your goal. You want to look at, are your activities specific? Are there clear links between the proposed activities and the context that you're working in? For example, if you describe a community situation in which girls do not have the opportunity to attend secondary school, but then your project activity includes building a well, it's hard for us to understand the connection. There might be a clear connection. Maybe the girls aren't attending school because there's not a place for them to use the bathroom and wash their hands afterwards. But that needs to be clearly explained when you're explaining the context, and then when you're explaining the goal of the project and how you will achieve that goal. So an example of an unclear goal might be, we plan to raise awareness about girls' education. Well, that sounds nice, but we don't really know where this is happening, how it's happening, why it's happening. So a better example might be, the goal of our project is to increase the number of girls who attend secondary school in Morong District. To achieve this goal, we plan to, number one, conduct 20 awareness sessions with parents in rural school districts that have the lowest percentages of school enrollment. Number two, provide school uniforms and school supplies to 200 girls who do not have the financial resources to attend school. And number three, build private latrines for girls at 5 secondary schools so that they can care for their personal hygiene at school. So again, that's just as an example, but you can see how just in a few sentences, you can create a really clear request that explains your ultimate project goal, the change that you want to see happen in 1 year or maybe in 3 years, and then the specific activities within the project year that will help you work toward that goal. All right, so you have your project plan in place. The next thing that is so key to a really good grant request is making sure that the activities that you have presented match what's in your project budget. And you might be surprised how many times we receive grant requests where they don't match, where we might look at a grant request and then look at the budget, and half of the things in the budget were never explained in the grant requests. Or maybe we'll look at the grant request and it'll say something like, we plan to distribute school uniforms and school supplies, and then we look at the project budget and there's no line item for that activity in the budget. So this is where it's essential, as someone working on a grant request, to bring your program and your finance staff together. This has to be collaborative. For each activity that you're proposing in your grant request, you'll consider what people and what inputs, like money or supplies, are needed to make this happen. And then your budget, the line items in your budget, should correspond with the project activities that you describe in your request. So for example, in our education project example, if we're distributing school uniforms and school supplies to 200 girls, then you'll want to look at your project budget and make sure, okay, did we budget and come up with estimated costs for 200 uniforms and 200 school kits for the girls who will be enrolled in our program? Another thing that makes for a great grant request is when the project is realistic and achievable in 1 year. We appreciate big dreams. A lot of us are big dreamers, but we also know that many times things just don't go as planned. And so we prefer to support projects that are realistic and thoughtfully planned over projects that seem to be fitting in as many activities as possible into 1 year. For example, if you're submitting a request to a donor and you say, as a small organization, and you say, we plan to conduct 80 awareness sessions in 30 schools over 3 months, the funder's probably going to have some questions, be a little bit skeptical about how realistic it would be to accomplish that. So you don't necessarily need to impress a funder with big numbers. What most funders really want to see is active community engagement and an understanding of the long-term impact that the activities will have on a community. All right, so we're moving now into impact. I'm sure you all know that a great project has an impact that will last long after the grant funds end. I think that's the goal for all of us, whether we're implementing a project or funding a project. And so when you're writing a grant application, you want to make sure that you can clearly demonstrate that your project will have the intended impact. And this is where you come up with a summary of your monitoring and evaluation plan. So we ask for a brief summary of this in our LOI, as well as in our grant application template. And most funders ask for this plan of some kind. Even if they don't, having a clear monitoring and evaluation plan is so helpful for you as a team and organization to know what kind of impact you're having, and then to learn from what works and what doesn't work so that you and your team and the participants in your project can keep making adjustments to your work and learning from it and making it better. So monitoring, just to clarify a few terms, monitoring is how you will check up on the project while it's being implemented to make sure it's moving ahead as planned and to make any adjustments as needed. When you monitor a project, you might report back and say, 50 students participated in a workshop. That's important information because now we know the workshop happened. We'll see that reflected in our finance report. However, maybe all the 50 students attended the workshop and then decided to skip school for the rest of the week. That's not the impact that we were hoping to have. So just saying that 50 students participated in a workshop doesn't tell us anything about whether there was an actual change in students' knowledge or their skills or their behaviors. So evaluation then is how you determine if a project has an impact on people or communities. It tells us if there was a change in people's behaviors. For example, if parents registered their students for school, or if there is a change in people's knowledge. For example, the percentage of parents who understand why it's important for girls to attend secondary school. It also doesn't tell us if there was a change in people's skill levels. For example, if a higher percentage of skills or of girls were able to pass their national exams as a result of your project. Evaluation is where this happens. So a best practice is to have some kind of baseline survey or data that you collect before a project is implemented. And then a second survey or set of data that you collect partway through a project or at the end of a project. And then you're comparing the data at the end of the project with the data at the beginning of a project. So for example, we might do a short informal interview with girls before joining our program. And then again, after they've been in our program for 1 year. And by comparing those sets of interviews, our goal might be for 80% of girls to express an increased desire to complete their secondary education. And then we can have additional data to back up our goals. So we might have a goal of 90% of the girls in our program successfully completing their first year of secondary school. Again, I'm just making up all these numbers as examples, but evaluation is where you're measuring the changes in behavior, skills, and knowledge in the community that you're working in. And so a great project proposal is able to explain both your plan to monitor the project activities, track what's happening, and a plan to evaluate those changes and those impacts that happen as a result of your activities. And then finally, sustainability and long-term impact. A really great project is one that has the ability to continue making a difference even after the grant funds end. And every project is different. Some are one-time activities, some are ongoing activities. Either way, funders want to know that the impact of the project will continue after the grant funds stop. And it's not just funders. Communities want to know this too. If they see you coming in and setting up a new well and water pump, they also want to know that there will be people in the community who know how to repair the pump, that there will be supply parts available, that there will be people responsible for monitoring the water pump long after the project funds are over. So your grant request should include information about how your team will continue to follow up with participants in the next year, or if there are local volunteers or committees that will be set up in order to maintain and keep the impact of the activities going. For example, again, going back to our education project in the LOI, I might say throughout the 1 year project period, we will meet weekly with the school management committee. By the end of the year, the committee will have the capacity to continue hiring teacher trainers and hosting workshops for teachers on an annual basis using funding contributed from the district education office. All right. Those are the best practices. I'm going to jump back now just to reiterating a few things about one day's wages timeline and vetting process. And then I'll jump over to the questions that you have. Also, after the webinar is over, I'll be sharing an email that includes a link to the recording, as well as an example letter of inquiry that is just completely made up, but hopefully gives you an example that you can reference as you're working on an LOI for one day's wages or any type of grant request to another funder. So, again, if your LOI is approved by one day's wages, we would invite you to submit a more thorough grant application. Our vetting process takes on average about 3 months. And during this time, one of our grant analysts will reach out to you asking for some clarifying questions about your project. And then our team of grant analysts recommends grants to our board of directors, which makes a final decision on all grants. For grants that receive a final approval from our board, the next step is setting up a matching grant campaign, and we give our partners 3 months to raise the funding for their matching grant campaign and reach their goal. Some partners take less time, some need a little bit more time. But because of this timeline, when submitting an LOI, the proposed project should have a start date of no sooner than 6 months from when your LOI is submitted to One Day's Wages. Just as a few reminders, when you're working on a request, double check your work before submitting it. Make sure you're asking, was the community involved in helping plan this project? Is your request clear? Is it specific? Does your project budget match the activities that you want to implement? Also, as a reminder, we receive a lot more requests than we have funds for. We closely review every single LOI that we receive, but we have a limited amount of funding and are only able to select projects and partners that are best aligned to our values, our issue funds, and our commitment to ending extreme poverty. Every time that you have an opportunity to submit a grant application, it builds your capacity as an organization to explain your work in a compelling way. So if you are denied, don't take it personally. You can try again. You can submit a new LOI to One Day's Wages a year later. You can submit requests to additional funders. Each time you submit a request, it's a chance to refine your grant writing skills. And it's also a chance for you as an organization and as a project team to refine the way that you explain your work, the way that you plan for your work. So again, most funders are only able to fund a very small percentage of the requests they receive. View it as a learning opportunity. That's probably one of my biggest advice for each of you. All right, so we have a few minutes remaining here. I'm going to take a look at the questions that are in the chat box. Feel free to add them there. If I don't get to your question, I will do my best to respond to any unanswered questions in the follow-up email that I send to all of you. Let's see. So someone asked, if an organization is unable to raise their portion of the matching grant, what happens? Great question. And we do have information on this on our website in the question and answer section on our grants page. If an organization is not able to meet their goal, then One Day's Wages matches the amount that they have raised. So this means that the overall grant size will be smaller than what's considered, than what was approved. And so we would work with the partner to reduce the scope and the budget of the project in order to meet the amount of grant funds that are actually available. Someone asked, if they're not a grassroots organization, can we submit a proposal? There are lots of different definitions of grassroots. What we really mean by this is a project that is being locally implemented by local leaders and building the capacity of local leaders. If you feel that you meet that criteria, you're welcome to go ahead and submit an LOI. Someone asked, if grants are matched by local institutions and not individuals, is that allowed? It is allowed, but the contributions still need to come through the fundraising page. So you would want to check and see if the Ministry of Education or the local corporation or funder is able to make the contribution to our fundraising page. In some cases, what our partners do is they'll have a local partner transfer the funds to them, and then they will transfer the funds to us, to their fundraising page, so that it's all being processed through that one portal. And that's just to make sure that all of the grant funds being raised are going to the intended purpose. Jada asks, can we apply for two divisions from one location or from one organization? So because our grant funds are pretty small, because the highest amount you can request is $30,000. If it's your first time requesting funding, it usually makes the most sense to request funds for just one project. However, a lot of our partners are implementing intersectional projects that have multiple activities that might be implemented by different parts of the organization. So as long as the project is cohesive and there's kind of one main goal, then you can submit a request for that. But if it's for kind of two totally separate streams of your work, in many cases, it ends up, the funding going to each area ends up being so small that it doesn't make as much sense. But you're welcome to reach out to us or just explain that in your letter of inquiry, and then we can respond to that question. When is the letter of inquiry open? Right now, we accept letters of inquiry or LOIs on a rolling basis. That means you can fill out a form at any time on our website. We might be shifting next year to having quarterly deadlines, but we will make that information really clear on our website. But for right now, it's open. We review LOIs as they come in and let applicants know within 3 weeks the result of their LOI. Let's see, is it possible to apply now for an end of year campaign, or will it take more time to be reviewed? Yeah, at this point, because the LOI review process takes 3 weeks, and then we give applicants a month to submit their grant application to us, and then it takes about another 6 weeks to review the grant application, it's probably too late at this point to submit a request for an end of year campaign for this year. So it's something that you might want to consider next year instead and submit your request to us like by August or so, so that it can be fully vetted and potentially approved before planning for an end of year matching grant campaign. Do upper middle income countries qualify? Again, I'll refer you to the Human Development Index that is linked to on our website. We only fund projects in countries that are ranked either low or medium on the Human Development Index. So you can take a look there. Let's see. Submission deadline, letter of inquiry or letter of interest. Again, this just provides a brief summary of your grant request. And the reason for this is that I know that grant applications take a lot of time. I've written many grant applications. I know they can be time consuming. The LOI is an opportunity to present a summary of your request before going to all that work of filling out an entire grant application. But the LOI should still be carefully thought through and summarized well. It shouldn't just be, you know, like a half thought through project. You want to make sure that you go into the LOI application process already knowing what your project is, why it's needed, what you plan to implement. And then if the LOI is approved, then you can take a bit more time to fully explain the reason for your project and what exactly you plan to do. So that's what the LOI does. Someone asks, if you don't have an annual budget of $100,000, can you still apply? Yes, you can. I would just say that if you do have a smaller budget, take a look at where your sources of revenue come from. Especially, do you have a mix of funding coming in from both individual people as well as through some grant funders. We just want to make sure that organizations, that our partners who are selected, have the capacity to raise matching grant funds. So the $100,000 is not a hard or fast rule by any means. It just means that the size of the grant awarded might be smaller and that we would more closely ask you questions about whether your organization has the capacity to raise some matching contributions. Really great question about in-kind contributions. I will say that this is something we are exploring more as a team right now, and I hope to have some more specific clarification around this question within the next, or by the end of the year, I would say. It's always absolutely fantastic to see in-kind contributions, like community members contributing services or construction time or materials to support the project. That's certainly something that we're considering when we are reviewing a project and a grant request. It's not considered the full contribution as part of your matching grant campaign. But for an organization that does have a lot of in-kind contributions, we would probably be a lot more likely to award like a 3-to-1 matching grant, where your organization would be required to raise only a small portion of the actual funds because you also have in-kind contributions coming in. Someone asked, what's the actual number of a small group of people? We don't have a number of like, your project must directly engage with this many participants, because every project is just so different. You know, a project working with survivors of human trafficking and providing aftercare might be working really intensively with 30 people, in an organization doing broader educational awareness sessions might be working with 3,000 people. I think what we really want to make sure is that a project isn't just supporting like, you know, like one family or one group of friends. We want to make sure that the participants are reflective of the community, and that the impact is having kind of like a deep and broad impact on families and community members. I think that's the key thing. All right. I think I hit all the questions. The ones that I did not touch on were mentioned earlier in the recording. Again, I'll share the recording with everyone after the webinar. But thank you all so much for joining. Again, I will send a follow-up email with that example letter of inquiry and the link to our website that contains the information. And I'm so appreciative of you all joining. And I look forward to being in touch with those of you who I haven't been connected with yet. And for those of you who are prospective applicants, looking forward to receiving your LOIs if you choose to submit one. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.